We have a lot to cover here. So does anybody need a handout? Did anybody not get one? Okay. Heidi is going to run those back and hand some out for me. So we have my husband to thank for these handouts. When I was working on my notes, I was trying to keep it to 6 pages. They're double-sided. And I was having a hard time keeping everything on 6 pages. And I was telling him about this, and he's like, you know what, it's okay. Just do as many pages as you need. Our printer can handle it. So I ended up with a 7th page. And yesterday he went to print them all out. And it took him 2 hours, start to finish, to print all my handouts, staple them together. He came back inside and he's like, you know, if you ever do anything like this again, you should probably just stick to the 6 pages. Okay, I will stick to the 6 pages. All right, so for those who don't know me, my name is Rebecca. My husband, Adam, and I, we've been married for 8 years, and we are involved in church planting, and we live in a little town called Orwigsburg, and like nobody has ever heard of Orwigsburg, but we are just a few miles north of the giant Cabela's in Hamburg. So that is like the only landmark that we have, so we claim that one. We have 2 little boys. Daniel is 6, and he is our wild child. He's very energetic. He has a mind of his own. He has a lot of personality. And I was telling him yesterday, I said, Daniel, you need to pray for mommy. I'm going to be teaching a class, and there's like 90 ladies coming to my class. And he goes, oh, don't worry, mommy, you'll be fine. You've taught lots of ladies before. It's like, never this many. And I said, well, will you pray for me? And he goes, no, I only pray for people when they're sick. So I guess I'm not getting any prayers from him today. And then Matthew, he's my youngest, he's 2. And he is spunky and shy and very sweet. And then I am pregnant with our 3rd little boy. And I can't really tell you much about him yet, except based on the ultrasound photos, he definitely looks like one of ours. And he is very bouncy. So bear with me if I'm losing my breath. I just don't have quite as much lung capacity as I normally do. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Today's topic is joyfully anchored, practical ways to live a joyful and peace-filled life in a world overcome with depression and anxiety. So I do have a lot of notes. We will probably go pretty quickly through some of this. And if possible, if we have time, I would love to do a little bit of a Q&A at the end. If we don't have time, just keep your questions and you can feel free to see me afterwards. All right, so before we set sail, here are some things that you should know. I'm going to be talking about 4 words quite a lot, and so we're going to go over some definitions of those words. So anxiety, an emotion rooted in worry and fear. Jim Berg often refers to it as the emotion of uncertainty. I'm sure we can all relate to how that feels. Depression, an overwhelming emotion of sadness without hope. Peace, an emotion of harmony, tranquility, safety, welfare, and health, and that is from Strong's Concordance there. And joy, a deep-seated calm, delight, or inner gladness. So just keep those definitions in mind as we go through this. All right, so just some disclaimers and caveats as we get going. Gotta catch my breath. Anxiety and depression are 2 very common struggles for women today. It's important to know how to respond to these emotions in a biblical manner. You may not struggle with anxiety or depression, but hopefully you can use this information to help understand somebody else's struggle or to prevent these emotions from taking root in your own life. Anxiety and depression are 2 different issues with many varying degrees of symptoms and severity. I'm kind of lumping the 2 together today because they have a lot of similarities. They often go hand in hand, and the solutions to both are relatively similar. Something to keep in mind is that prolonged anxiety can often lead to depression. I do not pretend to know everything about this topic. Anxiety and depression, they can be very complicated. I'm not a biblical counselor, I'm not a doctor, but I'm simply sharing what I've learned from my experience and then my study into this topic. And we will only be skimming the surface. I would definitely encourage you to go home and research this further so that you can help yourself and others. And then lastly, but also most importantly, joy and peace, they're a fruit of the Spirit. God wants you to experience both on a regular basis, as well as all the other fruits of the Spirit. So please know that joy and peace are absolutely possible, and they are God's will for you as a believer. And I love this verse from Isaiah 55:12. It is a prophetic verse, but it says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." All right, so my story with anxiety and depression. So this came after a crazy year for my husband and I personally. It was the year 2020. I know it was a crazy year for a lot of you as well, but we were on deputation for church planting, and I was pregnant with our first son. And our son was born with a very complicated heart condition and required multiple surgeries after birth. And so he was born in January of 2020, and then his first surgery happened when he was 7 weeks old. It also happened at the same time that COVID was happening. So we sent him into surgery, sat down in the waiting room, and President Trump was closing down the nation for 2 weeks. And we were in Philadelphia. So Philadelphia was a ghost town that week. And then following that year, we also moved because we were planning to start a church. My husband's job changed, of course. We started a church, and the same month that we started the church, my son had his second heart surgery. So he went in for heart surgery on Monday, got out of the hospital on Friday, and my husband was starting the church that Sunday. Just how it all happened. Looking back, I always thought I, you know, handled that okay, all things considering. It was a lot. You know, my first child, the heart surgeries, everything. And then 19 months later, after my son was ready to be weaned, I stopped breastfeeding. And at that point, I just felt like everything came crashing down. My hormones, my emotions, I was very snippy and irritable. Things would make me angry. I would cry over the littlest things. I honestly did not know what was wrong with me. I thought there surely was something wrong with me physically. So finally, after several months of experiencing this, my husband asked me to write down everything that I was dealing with, how I felt, in a list, and he called a biblical counselor, and he shared with the biblical counselor what I was experiencing, and hardly without missing a beat, the counselor said, "Your wife's dealing with a classic case of clinical depression." And after that, things made sense. I didn't know what was wrong with me. So finally having somebody say, "This is what you're dealing with," it gave me a lot of hope because now I know what I'm dealing with. I can get better. So he gave us some recommendations, and thankfully, praise the Lord, within a few months, after some lifestyle changes and a supplement that he recommended, I was feeling much more like myself. So that is my experience with it, and I hope that from what I've learned that I can hopefully help and encourage some of you. All right, so what are the symptoms of anxiety and depression? Sometimes we struggle with these things and we don't know that we're struggling with these things. I did not know that I was dealing with depression until I shared that list with the counselor. And once we know what we're dealing with, then we can finally take steps to remedy the problem. So here are just a short list of some ways that these can manifest. Anxiety can look like persistent worry and fear, feeling on edge, impatience and annoyance, inability to rest, relax, or sit still, physical symptoms such as a racing heart, physical shaking, upset stomach, etc., difficulty concentrating. Depression can look like persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness, loss of interest in everyday activities and pleasures, constantly dwelling on negative thoughts or constantly living in the past, feeling fatigued, lacking energy, wanting to sleep all the time. And then difficulty thinking, making decisions, or constant brain fog. So that's just a short list. There can be more, but those are some things. Real quick, some facts about anxiety and depression. Now, keep in mind that these are the world's statistics. Hopefully things are better among Christians, but not always. But according to Google, approximately 1 in 3 women will experience an anxiety disorder in their lifetime. About 24% of women in the U.S. currently live with or have recently experienced symptoms of depression. Approximately 15 to 20% of women experience postpartum depression and anxiety after giving birth, with up to 85% of new mothers experiencing baby blues. Baby blues are very normal. The postpartum anxiety and depression, that is a lot more severe. Because anxiety and depression are so common, sometimes even normal life emotions, it's important to know how to respond to these emotions when they come. So there are some common triggers for anxiety and depression, and I'm just going to go through these. And it's important that we know ourselves and that we know what can be a trigger for us. We need to know how we tend to respond to things, and then we can prepare for it. So some potential triggers: grief or loss of a loved one, that's a big one. Relationship issues, major life changes such as job changes, a move, traumatic life experiences, medical trauma, illness, abuse, etc. Prolonged seasons of stress, hormonal changes, puberty, pregnancy, postpartum, weaning, menopause. That's a big one for a lot of women. Negative, unbiblical thinking patterns, lack of sleep or poor nutrition, prescription drugs and medications. A lot of different drugs and medications can come with anxiety or depression as a side effect. And then last but not least, unconfessed sin. If we have unconfessed sin in our life that we're not willing to deal with, that can lead to depression. All right, so looking over that list, from my experience, I had a lot of these triggers in my life during 2020. We had a lot of major life changes. We moved, my husband's job changed. We had some traumatic experiences with my son having heart surgeries. It was definitely a prolonged season of stress, and also hormonal changes. I had just had a baby, then later weaning him. And then I know for me, I don't know if this was the cause of some of the anxiety and depression or a result of, but I really struggled with negative thinking. Like something would happen and I couldn't even see the positive side of it. It was just all negative, and I couldn't get out of that negative frame of mind. So those are just some triggers. And you know, think about your own life. What are some things that can really set you on edge with anxiety or feeling sad or depressed? And just know what those are if you can, and prepare for them. And then when those things start happening and life starts to get a little overwhelming and crazy, you can prepare for them. So if you think about a ship in a storm or a ship that's coming, when they are finally ready to, I don't know what the word is, stop or whatever, they drop anchor, okay? It stabilizes the ship. And when your life's feeling overwhelming and out of control, you need to start dropping some anchors to help stabilize your life. So that's what we're going to look at for the next little while, is anchors. And the next page, we're going to be looking at spiritual anchors for joy and peace. So what are some things that we can do to anchor ourselves spiritually? So the first one would be to spend time in God's Word, specifically the Psalms. And Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So the truth of God's Word can ground our hearts and minds when life feels uncertain. It's going to show us the way to respond. God's Word is going to bring us comfort. And in the Psalms, we see a wide range of human emotions. So we see joy and sadness, we see anxiety, peace, and despair. Especially the Psalms of David, you can see when he's struggling, you can see when he's rejoicing. So the Psalms help remind us that we are not alone, and our emotions are not exclusive to us alone. And best of all, the Psalms and all of the Bible, they constantly point us back to the one who deserves our trust and can solve all our problems. So if you find yourself really struggling with anxiety or depression, go to God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. And, you know, if you need to have a special focus on the book of Psalms. So one thing that I have done has really helped me. When my son was about to be born, I went in for an induction, and I had read in a book somewhere that Psalm 121 is a passage that Jewish rabbis will read over newborn babies. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. We should read that psalm. And so my husband read it when I was in labor, and then later when my son was in the hospital, and again during some of his heart surgeries. And it became a very special psalm to our family, and we now call it Daniel's Psalm. And then when I was pregnant with my second, Matthew, I was like, well, Matthew needs a psalm. So during that time, Psalm 23 was very special to me. So that became Matthew's psalm. And it's neat because we hadn't planned this, but we ended up naming him Matthew David. And Psalm 23 is one of David's most famous psalms. And so now with this little one, when I was expecting, well, when I found out I was expecting, we were going through a very difficult time. There was just a lot of trials, a lot of uncertainties. Thankfully, the Lord brought us through those. And Psalm 34 became very special to me because there's several verses in there that talks about the Lord delivering us from all our fears. So that has become very special to me during this pregnancy. So don't be afraid to go to the Psalms, find a psalm, claim one, read it, go to that psalm for comfort. All right, and the second one, pour out your heart in prayer. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. So God is a refuge. And one of the ways that we turn to God as our refuge is through prayer. It's so easy to worry about our problems, but worrying does not accomplish anything. But prayer, we can take our problems to the Lord, who can actually do something about our problems. So to pour out your heart before him gives the picture of total vulnerability and surrender to the Lord. It's emptying ourselves completely. Our sins, worries, joys, fears, emotions, etc. It's pouring everything out to the Lord. And I can guarantee you, last night as I was trying to fall asleep, I was praying to the Lord and pouring my heart out to him, asking him for help today. So just a reminder that God, the Lord, wants to be that sounding board. He wants you to come to him with all your concerns, your worries, and your fears. All right, the third thing, rest in God's perfect will for your life. Rest in God's perfect will for your life. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So this is something for me that really helped after my son was born and he has this heart condition. And this is something he's going to live with for the rest of his life. You know, there are potential problems that could come in the future. He's doing amazing. Like I said, he's our wild one. He's very energetic. So that is definitely an answer to prayer. But it was hard for me to accept as a first-time mom. Like, why me? Why did I need to experience this? Why does he need to have this? And it wasn't until I finally came to the point where God planned this. This was God's will. He allowed this, that I could truly accept it and move on. And something that we need to remember is that God has such a unique plan for each of us. And our life is not going to look the same as everyone else's. And when we start to compare our life story with somebody else's, that's going to create a lot of anxiety. Because, well, I'm not as far along as they are. Or, well, I haven't been blessed with this. Or, why do they have that good gift that I want, but they have it and I don't? That can really steal our joy. And that can cause us so much anxiety. But when we focus on the path that God has set before us, it can bring so much peace. So we may never understand why God allows certain things to happen in our life or why some people are blessed with gifts that we wish to have, but we can rest in his perfect will. And there's so much joy and peace to be found when we choose to accept, trust, and even rest in God's unique and perfect will for our life. All right, the next one is listen or sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So godly music. Psalm 71, verse 23 says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. So music, godly music, is another great way to comfort and stabilize our hearts. The words of biblical songs can point our hearts and minds back to Christ and remind us of truths from God's word. Godly music can bring peace, joy, and comfort during difficult times. And something that came up with a conversation with some friends recently is to use the hymn book in your devotions and learn the words of those songs, because so many of them, they're so rich in biblical truths and scripture, and just knowing those words can be really encouraging and comforting to our hearts. And when my son was going through his surgeries, I can't remember which surgery or if it was before he was born or I don't quite remember when, but a friend of mine told me, she said, sing to him when you're in the hospital. She said, it's very healing. And so we did. We would sing in the hospital. And before his last surgery, he was 2.5 when he went in for his last surgery. And he was able to sing at that point. So leading up to his surgery, he and I would sing It Is Well. And it was really sweet to hear his little 2-year-old voice singing It Is Well, because he didn't know what was coming. I did. But I think it comforted my heart more than his, of course. But just a reminder that music is so healing, so comforting, and to listen to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. All right, so the next page, we're going to look at physical anchors for joy and peace. The first one is sleep, something that is very precious to me right now. Psalm 127, verse 2 says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep." Sleep is a gift, and it's something that our bodies need. When it comes to properly fighting off anxiety and depression, proper sleep is absolutely vital. When our body doesn't get the rest it needs, we're going to be a lot more susceptible to the fear and overwhelm that eventually leads to anxiety and depression. So God created our bodies to need sleep. And when we deny that need, we deny the wisdom of God in giving us the gift of sleep. A consistent sleep schedule is very important for preventing and also overcoming anxiety and depression. The second one is nourishment. And I'm going to read a passage of scripture here from 1 Kings 19. And this is where Elijah has fallen into a deep despair. So I'm just going to read this and then I'll explain it a little bit more. "And as he, Elijah, lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." So Elijah had fallen into a great despair after the victory on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. And he was in such a despair that he asked the Lord to take away his life. The angel of the Lord came to minister to Elijah. And one of the key elements in this passage is that Elijah needed to eat good food for nourishment. And I think it's interesting to note that Elijah had just had this enormous victory on Mount Carmel. God did a miracle, and it was amazing, and he was victorious. And then in the very next passage, you see him plummeting into this deep despair. And it is helpful to note that sometimes our greatest feelings of discouragement and despair are going to come after an incredible high in our life. It's like this great big drop. And it's just something to be aware of. You know, life has this natural ebb and flow. So I don't mean to scare anybody, but if you have like an amazing experience in your life, don't be surprised if soon after, okay, things are a little rough right now, and that's to be expected, and it's okay. But I love how the Lord was so patient and gentle with Elijah, and he knew what Elijah needed. He needed sleep, and he needed food and nourishment. And we cannot expect our minds and bodies to function properly if we're not giving them the nourishment that they need. This means eating well-balanced, nutrient-dense meals. And I could say so much more on this topic, but that is beyond the scope of this workshop. But just know that you need to be fueling your body with good, healthy food if you want your body to be functioning well. And the third thing is exercise. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So the Holy Spirit as Christians is indwelling us. This is his temple, and we need to take care of it. And one of the ways that we can take care of it is exercise, which is so easily neglected in our busy lives, but is incredibly important for our overall health and well-being. If we want a clear head, heart, and mind, exercise is going to help with that. Exercise produces endorphins in our body, which are known as feel-good hormones. If you've been dealing with a lot of anxiety, then exercise is even more important, because somebody with anxiety typically has elevated levels of cortisol and adrenaline in their body. And when you get out and you move, you help your body burn off that excess adrenaline. So when we spoke with Dr. Love, the biblical counselor, which I forgot to mention his name earlier, he's the one that helped us, and I'm forever grateful for his help. One of the things that he recommended for me was to get daily exercise, and he even recommended vigorous exercise like jumping jacks and jumping rope, because he said that's going to help burn off that excess adrenaline in your body. So I'm not doing any jumping jacks right now, I can guarantee you that, but that was something that was helpful back then. So if you don't know where to start with exercise, you can start with just a short daily walk. Walking is one of the simplest forms of exercise you can do, and it comes with so many benefits. All right, and then just real quick before we move on to the next page, I have a little spot here with some herbs, supplements, and recommendations to consider. Now, of course, don't try any of these without doing your own research or consulting with your doctor. But the one that was very helpful for me is something called SAMe. Don't ask me what it is, I'm still not quite sure what it is. But this was what was recommended to me by the biblical counselor. And it's a natural supplement that I went on for a couple months, and it definitely made a difference. It kind of helped get me out of that fog of depression that I was in. There's another one that's commonly used, it's called St. John's wort. It's a natural herb used to treat depression, but it's not recommended while pregnant or breastfeeding. And I do believe that this one may have some side effects. I've never used it, so it's something to look into. And then also, a note for coffee lovers, caffeine can increase feelings of anxiety in some people. This is something to consider if you struggle with a lot of anxiety and also drink coffee. Just so you know, I still drink coffee. But it's something that I have given up in different seasons of life, especially then. It's just something to be aware of. You can either cut back, or I know people don't like decaf, but it does have less caffeine. All right, so now we're going to move on to practical and emotional anchors for peace and joy. So these are not really in any kind of special order, but hopefully this is where it'll get really practical and just some things that you can think about. Have a trusted confidant. Of course, we need to be going to the Lord, but as for earthly confidants, your spouse, hopefully first and foremost, a close friend, mentor, or older woman you trust. Talking things out can help clear your head, and hopefully a person that you talk to can help encourage you spiritually or practically. Something to just be aware of is that when you're dealing with anxiety, especially depression, there's this natural tendency to pull away from people and kind of isolate yourself. But you want to do the opposite. You want to go towards people, reach towards these people. So your spouse, your family members, your church family, etc. Don't pull away. Don't give up on church or your family, but reach towards these people. Ask for help if you need it. Second thing, keep a journal. This is one of the best ways to clear your head, get all your worries, thoughts, feelings out on paper. This is something I started doing. It's something I used to do growing up, especially as a teenager, and then life got busy with ministry and starting a family, but it's something that I started up again after my son was born and I was struggling. And just writing everything out can be so helpful. And sometimes your problems don't look near as bad when they're on paper, they're out of your head and on paper. So this is also a great option if you don't have somebody that you feel like you can go to and confide in. The next one is spend time in nature. This, of course, can be combined with exercise. So time in nature is very calming for your nervous system. Being outside in God's creation also reminds us of our smallness and the greatness of God and can help put us in our place. I love these verses from Psalms 8. It says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And it's helpful when we're out in nature and we just see the greatness of God. It helps to remind us that the God who created our world and he sustains our world, he can also sustain our lives. If we're struggling, we know that, okay, God's got this. He's literally holding up the whole world, the whole universe. He can sustain my life as well. Next one is to follow a flexible but consistent daily routine. Routines can help bring structure and stability to our lives. Not having any kind of routine can cause some anxiety all on its own. So if you don't know where to start, start with either a simple morning routine or a simple evening routine and go from there. Dr. Love, he specifically recommended for me a consistent bedtime routine because sleep is incredibly important, especially when you're trying to get through this. And he said, if you do the same things every night before bed, go to bed at the same time, that's gonna be super helpful. So if you don't know where to start, you can start there. The next thing is do something to bless somebody else. Sometimes when we're dealing with anxiety and depression, we can become very self-focused. And it can be very helpful to get our minds off of our problems, our struggles, and focus on somebody else. So think of little thoughtful gestures that you can do for somebody else. And just know that bringing joy to somebody else is going to bring a lot of joy to your life as well. Okay, the next one. Limit screen time and media consumption. Excessive screen time and media consumption are partly responsible for the rising rates of anxiety and depression. So if this is something that you struggle with, I would highly recommend cutting back or cutting it out. There's so much negativity online these days. Negative news, negative everything. And that can really get to us after a while. So cut back if you have to. And also know that screen time in the hours before bedtime has negative impacts on your sleep. Not only is it keeping your brain awake and feeding it all kinds of sometimes negative things, but it also the blue lights from the screens can help keep our bodies from falling asleep properly. So that's just something to be aware of, and especially before bedtime, try to cut back on that. All right, next one, carve out time for things that you enjoy. Life is so, so busy. I think we all know that, especially as women, as mothers, there's a lot on our plates, and it's very easy to stop enjoying the things that we love. And I just want to encourage all of you, even though your life is very busy, to try to find just 5 or 10 minutes, a little bit of time each week, to do something that you love. You know, it's going to be something simple. For me, I love reading, and I am not going to give that up just because I have crazy little boys in my house. So after I put them to bed and spend time with my husband, I like to read. And that really refreshes my soul because I'm learning. It's encouraging my heart. It's not just a hobby for pleasure, but I want to be learning and growing as a person too. So that's what I enjoy. But, you know, I'm sure all of you have hobbies and little things that you enjoy. And don't forget, even though life is busy, to make some time for that in your life. It really helps to have something to look forward to each day or each week. All right, last one is laughter. It really is medicine. So find wholesome ways to laugh with your children, your spouse, and your friends. It is healing. And of course, think of the verse that talks about a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. All right, last page. So on this page, I just have some encouragement and reminders for those who are married, those who are homemakers, and for those who are mothers. But for married women, cultivate your marriage. Your husband should be your best friend and your closest earthly confidant. Learn to be a submissive wife and let your husband lead. It's so easy for us as wives. We are tempted to kind of take charge and get in her husband's way. But if you try to be the leader in your home, you are going to assume a lot of unnecessary burdens and anxiety that you were never meant to carry. So let your husband shoulder the weight of those responsibilities. Let him lead and be submissive. Prioritize time together, communication, and intimacy. A good marriage is one of the biggest sources of joy in our life here on earth. So be sure that you're prioritizing that relationship. Don't pull away from your husband. Make sure that he is your closest friend. For homemakers, find joy in keeping your home. We have such a wonderful privilege to keep and cultivate a home. And when you strive for excellence in this area and learn to enjoy being at home, it can become a great source of joy. I am naturally a homebody, so it's not hard for me to find joy in my home, but it is just such a wonderful privilege to be a wife and homemaker and be able to put so much love and care into that home and make it a place of rest and comfort for our family. And then for mothers, delight in the care and keeping of your children. Motherhood is a great responsibility. The weight of it can feel very heavy. I'm in the little years, and it is a lot sometimes. We've got big personalities in our house, and sometimes it's a lot. Get to the end of the day, and I tell my husband, I was like, wow, today was quite a day. But when we really slow down and allow ourselves to enjoy and delight in our children, they're such a blessing. And we should take great care in teaching and training them and let them be a great source of joy in our life. God meant children to be a gift, and they are a gift. And yes, it's a great responsibility, but they can bring you so much joy. A couple verses here that kind of go along with some of these things. Proverbs 5:18, it says, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." Now, this is speaking to husbands here, but something that my husband said to me the other day is that a husband cannot rejoice with his wife if she can't rejoice with him. So be a joyful wife and be rejoicing with your husband. And then Psalm 113:9, it says, "He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." It is such a blessing to have children, and we should strive to be a joyful mother. All right, so just some takeaways to stay anchored in the days ahead. First one, evaluate your life and based on some of these things and choose one spiritual, one physical, and one practical anchor to add to your life. Small, consistent changes are going to make the biggest impact. So we talked about quite a few things. I went over spiritual anchors, physical anchors, and some practical anchors. And I would really encourage all of you to just go through there and choose one from each page that, okay, I'm going to work on this. And it doesn't have to be a great big change or grand gesture, but just something small that you can work on each day just to help anchor yourself. And the second thing would be to study what the Bible has to say about these topics. In my seventh page that added to this handout, I truly do believe it's the most important one. But I have scripture passages here on all these different topics. So scripture passages for anxiety, scripture passages for depression, scripture passages about joy, and scripture passages about peace. I would really encourage you to take this home and dig into some of those passages and just see what the Bible has to say about some of these things. And then lastly, consider reading a book on the topic of anxiety and depression or joy and peace just to learn more about it. There is so much to say here. There's so much involved in these topics. And it's really helpful as women that we know more about this. It's honestly not talked about a whole lot sometimes. And the more you know, the more you can help yourself and the more you can help others. Lastly, what if I need more help? What if you've made changes, but you're still really struggling without relief with either anxiety or depression? First thing I would recommend is reach out to your pastor or a biblical counselor. Don't ever be ashamed to ask for help. It can be very embarrassing to deal with anxiety or depression, but if you're struggling, don't be afraid to ask for help. God wants you to live in victory. He does not want you to be living with these issues. He wants you to be joyful and peaceful. So if you need help, be sure to ask for it. And secondly, see a doctor. It may be wise to check your thyroid or hormone levels and rule out any vitamin deficiencies. A lot of people like to say that depression is purely spiritual, but we are spiritual and physical and emotional beings. There can be a lot of different components. I'm never going to say it's just one or the other, but when I was dealing with depression, that was one of the recommendations was go have your thyroid checked, your hormone levels, certain vitamin levels checked. So it's just something that's good to rule out any physical issues there. All right, so we are about at the 45-minute mark, but I do want to just open it up if anybody has any questions. I know it's kind of a complicated topic, and we covered a lot. So does anybody have any questions for me?